Derek Jeter and Brian Cashman stood at opposite ends of a tension that had simmered for years. When they finally reconciled at Cooperstown during Jeter's Hall of Fame induction, it wasn't just two men making peace. It was a symbol of everything complicated about building a dynasty. Success breeds expectations. Expectations breed pressure. And pressure? It reveals who people really are. The Yankees have lived this cycle for decades, creating a blueprint for organizational excellence that's as brutal as it is brilliant. But here's what makes their story fascinating. The dynasty wasn't built by avoiding conflict. It was built by managing it. Picture the mighty Yankees in 1966, so diminished that a Cleveland fan could lean over the dugout and accurately predict their defeat to Roger Maris and Elston Howard. This wasn't just losing, this was humiliation. A franchise that had claimed 20 World Series titles since 1921 was suddenly drawing 10,000 fans on a good night. CBS's corporate ownership treated baseball's crown jewel like a struggling sitcom, slashing budgets and missing the fundamental truth. Sports franchises aren't just businesses, they're living ecosystems. Enter George Steinbrenner in 1973, buying the Yankees for $10 million, a steal that would become one of history's shrewdest investments. His timing was perfect. Free agency arrived in 1975, and Steinbrenner had both the wallet and the willingness to use it. Steinbrenner assembled stars like baseball cards: Catfish Hunter, Reggie Jackson, Goose Gossage. But money alone doesn't build dynasties. He needed someone willing to tell him no. That person was Gene "Stick" Michael, whose relationship with Steinbrenner began with a hot dog stuffed in his glove during practice. Michael, terrified of bugs, shrieked across the field while Steinbrenner furiously scribbled his number, ready to discipline this unprofessional player. This awkward start evolved into Steinbrenner's most trusted partnership because Michael possessed something rare: the courage to challenge him. When Steinbrenner implemented his no long hair policy, Michael asked if he'd pay for haircuts, then suggested buying new suits too, if the goal is to look presentable. That brash confidence earned respect where cowering earned contempt. Years before Moneyball, Michael revolutionized how the Yankees evaluated talent. He'd played Strat-O-Matic baseball as a kid, recognizing that walks held statistical power most scouts ignored. He tracked every pitch on a legal pad: velocity, location, type, result, building a mental database that made him baseball's most meticulous observer. His most distinctive insight was quitting on the baseball, that moment when elite hitters recognize a bad pitch and abort their swing mid-motion. Jason Giambi had it. Bobby Abreu perfected it. Gary Sheffield weaponized it. This ability deflated pitchers, turning at-bats into psychological warfare. What separates good organizations from great ones? Documentation. The Yankees didn't just develop a philosophy, they wrote it down. Bill Livesey created a revolutionary player profile system that ranked baseball's five tools by position rather than treating them equally. Catchers needed fielding and arm strength more than speed. First basemen required power above all else. The system required a player's top two position-specific tools to total at least 110 for championship caliber, helping identify overlooked talents like Mickey Rivers, whose mediocre average masked his two exceptional center field tools, totaling 140. By 1989, Mark Newman joined Livesey to create the Yankee Way, a 500-page manual built from discussions with coaches throughout the organization. This wasn't just a playbook, it was organizational DNA, principles that would survive personnel changes and philosophical shifts. The manual covered everything from uniform regulations to position techniques, defensive strategies, and practice drills. That obsessiveness separates dynasties from contenders. Excellence isn't accidental. It's documented, taught, and reinforced until it becomes culture. Brian Cashman's path to running the Yankees began with breaking a quarter horse named Nifty at his father's farm, perfect training for eventually handling George Steinbrenner. Both required patience, persistence, and the willingness to get thrown off repeatedly. Starting as a 19-year-old intern in 1986, living in a fifth-floor walk-up without air conditioning, Cashman impressed people with his look, listen, think, speak approach, absorbing everything before offering opinions. He drove players to appointments, transcribed minor league reports, and learned the administrative machinery that makes baseball function. By 1998, at just 30, he became baseball's second youngest general manager. Cashman insisted on just a one-year deal to prove himself. 4 days after his press conference, he acquired Chuck Knoblauch. Then came Orlando El Duque Hernandez, the Cuban defector who'd survived 4 days at sea, signing for $6.6 million, an all-time bargain. On scout Ron Brand's recommendation, they acquired Scott Brogius despite his .203 average, seeing work ethic and defense beyond statistics. The Yankees started 1-4, prompting Steinbrenner to suggest replacing Cashman. Gene Michael counseled patience. The team finished 1-14-48, swept San Diego in the World Series, and Brogius earned MVP honors. Sometimes the best decision is doing nothing while everyone screams for action. We got Alex Rodriguez. Brian Cashman delivered this news to Derek Jeter in February 2004 while driving on I-95, bracing for a reaction. After a telling silence, Jeter replied with characteristic flatness, "Okay." At A-Rod's introductory press conference, Jeter couldn't muster even a fake smile. Both claimed their relationship is fine. Nobody believed them. The Yankees had survived superstar feuds before. Reggie Jackson and Thurman Munson clashed in the 1970s but won a championship their first year together. Jeter and Rodriguez never quite managed either. The tension traced back to a 2001 Esquire profile where Rodriguez said Jeter was blessed with great talent around him and never had to lead. They'd once been friends, meeting in 1993 at a college baseball game. Even then, their personalities contrasted sharply. Rodriguez was polished but needy, constantly seeking affirmation, while Jeter remained quiet and self-contained. What made this feud particularly corrosive was its subtlety. No public explosions, no locker room fights, just cold distance between two men who should have been allies. Organizational culture isn't just about systems and processes. It's about human relationships, ego management, and the messy reality that talent alone doesn't guarantee harmony. In 2005, Brian Cashman demanded full control to modernize the Yankees through analytics. Michael Fishman, a Yale mathematics graduate, became their first analytics hire. In 2009, Fishman and Billy Epler discovered catcher Jorge Posada's subtle flinching influenced umpire calls, costing A.J. Burnett strikes. Using PitchFX technology, they found backup catcher Jose Molina excelled at framing pitches. After presenting to Joe Girardi, they paired Molina with Burnett, including in the World Series, a discovery years ahead of public knowledge. As tracking systems evolved, the Yankees built three data departments. By the 2020s, Sandy Alderson identified the next frontier, empathy and implementation, effectively communicating insights to players and coaches. Tim Nehring emerged as Cashman's most trusted evaluator, blending traditional scouting with analytics. When replacing Derek Jeter in 2014, Nehring evaluated shortstops on both skills and leadership, like who commanded the infield with runners on base. The Yankees deliberately broke down jock-slash-nerd silos by hiring versatile thinkers who could speak both languages. Some things still can't be quantified. In spring 2013, mental conditioning director Chad Bowling evaluated Aaron Judge in Fresno, noting his physical presence and earnest spart-aleck twinkle. Judge embraced Bowling's approach, watching positive highlight videos before every game during his record-breaking 2022 season. Unlike previous Yankee stars, Judge fostered inclusive leadership, welcoming Giancarlo Stanton without ego battles. But when Cashman publicly announced their $213.5 million offer on opening day, Judge was blindsided. "It was upsetting to us. We were discussing, if you guys want me here, let's just keep this between me and you." Despite rejecting the offer, Judge broke Roger Maris's American League record with 62 home runs. During the winter meetings, Yankees officials grew despondent after John Heyman erroneously tweeted, "Aaron Judge appears headed to the Giants," In a late-night intervention, manager Aaron Boone called Judge, followed by Steinbrenner texting from Italy. Around 3:30 a.m., they closed a 9-year, $360 million deal, appointing him the first captain since Jeter. After another playoff exit, Cashman faced intense criticism. The 2023 season proved disastrous, 82-80, missing the playoffs, fueling criticism of unsuccessful moves like Joey Gallo and Carlos Rodon. At the November 2023 GM meetings, a frustrated Cashman unleashed a passionate defense. "I think we're pretty fucking good, personally, and I'm proud of our people." Though recognized by peers as a future Hall of Famer, Cashman remained unsatisfied, driven by his feeling that he has more to accomplish as a Yankee. Here's what the Yankee way ultimately teaches us. Excellence isn't about avoiding mistakes. It's about building systems resilient enough to survive them. It's about documenting what works so it outlives its creators, balancing tradition with innovation, respecting the past while embracing the future. Dynasties aren't built by individuals, they're built by cultures that turn talented individuals into something greater. The Yankees have proven this for generations. Whether they can continue in an era of analytics, mega contracts, and shifting player empowerment remains baseball's most compelling question.